the Sudanese armed forces appear to have captured some of the equipment he has on him, particularly his Thuraya phone and a jamming equipment for Sudan Air Force assets. And therefore, this is a breakthrough for the army in being able to eliminate the commander of one of those attacking Al-Fashir.
This area has been attacked relentlessly for several weeks now by the RSF, and Al-Fashir is the last remaining holdout area of that whole North Darfur region. Can you tell me about the situation on the ground at all from what you're hearing from your sources? How are people even surviving?
It's really a very tough situation, hell on earth, as has been described by many. Al-Fashir is home to no less than 1.5 million people, half of them internally displaced persons, some from the 2003 to the 2004 genocidal campaign of the Sudan Armed Forces and the Janjaweed militia back then, and who were still displaced in large camps for the IDPs. We are talking about small towns, Zamzam camp, for instance, has several thousand internally displaced persons. And on top of that, there have been waves of displaced people from the ongoing war, this current war, who took refuge in Al-Fashir because for some time during the conflict, since April of 2023, Al-Fashir was relatively calm and stable and peaceful, and people found a sanctuary there. This has changed since mid-April 2024, when the RSF began encircling the city and enforcing a siege, preventing the arrival of commercial and humanitarian deliveries to the city, and therefore the pressures of food insecurity and famine on the large population of the IDPs.
On the sidelines, there have been these on and off peace talks with each side's representatives in other places, other countries. Do you think that this might be a turning point now with this top commander being killed?
I don't think so. On the contrary, I expect that this would add to the, the desire of the rapid support forces and their local commanders in the city of Al-Fashir to take revenge for their lost comrade, and therefore there will be more fierce attacks. This is what I expect would be the response of the rapid support forces. But again, the rapid support forces have a real issue of command and control, and many of their regional commanders and others have become their own warlords, and therefore fighters obeying more to their immediate direct commander rather to the rapid support forces as an overall force and structure. And the killing of a field frontline commander means that his forces would even have less less direct contact to the command and control of the rapid support forces. So the splintering of rapid support forces is really a big problem that could be an outcome of this situation.
So you're saying that some of these brutal accounts that we're hearing, like burning entire villages to the ground, that they're doing that on their own? They're not following the commands, the top?
There are certain situations where such attacks are driven by a collective, desire of the fighters. For instance, the attacks in West Darfur on Jenina Abdamata, these have been well documented and publicized and, really amounted to ethnic killing. And therefore, the burning of villages around Al-Fashir, there were 11 of them that, were burned, could not be a random act by, one or two fighters. This is the entire force that should take responsibility for it.
Well, given what you said about, the RSF, what you think might happen, and they'll just keep on fighting and maybe even hit harder, what do you think are the chances that this war is finally going to end soon?
We are unfortunately reaching a point where we don't see, an end in sight for this destructive and really tragic war.